going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Still rocking and rolling right here on this Sunday afternoon here as we take you around the DMV, wrapping up the 2025 NFL Draft. 5 new Washington Commanders. How do they impact 2025? And the most important question is this. How have they closed the gap between themselves and the Philadelphia Eagles? We'll chew on that over the next couple hours. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 105 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for Nats baseball as they wrap up their weekend series against the New York Mets. Coming up at 11:30, our pal Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on all 5 of Washington's draft selections. We'll also ask Logan this, something that I've felt, you know, last night once this thing finished up. Very clear and obvious, no defensive ends were selected. I think it says a lot about what they feel about their guys internally. So we'll see if a Javonte, Jean-Baptiste, Dorrance Armstrong, these guys, can they take another step forward coming up in 2025? So make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan all afternoon long. Myself locally, got Nats baseball for you. We also got Washington Capitals playoff hockey on deck here as well. So a lot to get to. Coming up at 11:30, like I mentioned, Logan Paulson going to join the program. We'll get in a call real quick before we break down the final 2 picks of Washington's draft. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. What's chime in? What's going on, Elijah?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Man, I really been excellent, man. I really enjoy the draft and the picks. They're drafting for potential, and they're drafting certain measurables or certain things. If you have certain qualities, what they're saying is, in our coaching staff, we believe that we can get you to the next gear, which is important. And just to watch how they protect their players is cool. So if you go and get a veteran, they go and get a rookie, you know, and think about the guy from last year. Sometimes we feel like, okay, we got that cat last year, so let's go somewhere else. To see them develop a core. So if for the rookies coming in, so big man up front in the first round, he'll be able to talk to Brandon Coleman. This is what it's like to be a rookie last year.
Right.
And then Laremy Tunsil was like, this is what it's like. You know, his experience from rookies probably going to be different from years ago because it's just different. So just to see them protect themselves, I knew that how they were going to draft based off of those decisions. They want leaders. I thought, okay, they wouldn't got a leader on the offensive line. They're probably going to shore up linebacker because they got some leaders there. They went and got some guys on the back end. So I was like, they're probably going to go and draft all of those positions knowing that how strong they want this team to be and how the unity. So
for
the
sure.
speed is going to be crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing that probably excites me the most is the speed.
Yeah, man. That speed. When you think about Jaden Daniels. I know you got to cut me loose.
No, go ahead.
Think about Jaden Daniels when he had Malik Nabers. I'm not saying yo is Malik Nabers. There's a certain type of swag and speed that goes along with his game.
Yes.
Even at the receiver position. So when I saw, like Main Man said on the last call, go look at the tape of all of the players and really look down from down to down how they actually playing. And that's what it really excites me. It's a certain speed. It's a certain thing where they're firing off the ball. Yeah. And they knew that they needed that. It's not necessarily always up front. They was like, man, maybe we just need more back-end guys that's faster. We got undrafted free agents that I was excited about. Everybody was like, we only got 5 picks. Nah, dog, we got a scouting department. So what's the free, you know how many guys go unlooked at and go undrafted?
And look, that's we saw two guys last year make this team.
I looked yesterday, we got 2 DBs undrafted last night. So I said, oh, nah, man. They know what they're doing. They know what they're looking at. They know what the team, they had a proper team meeting. It's like, that's why they probably ain't got no ends yet. They probably going to do something. It's like, nah, man, we gotta straighten up on the back end. It's all love. But we had St. Juice. We was dealing with Forbes and certain stuff throughout the year. We were still trying to figure out this year, Joe. We ain't thinking about, at least from the defensive perspective. So I'm excited. I know you gotta get some other calls, man. But it was a really good draft. Really smart. They looking in the mirror.
For sure.
They understand where they are and where they want to be. And it's a trickle down effect. You going for Philly, you gonna get other teams by default just because you. That's how far you shooting your arrow. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
We're not trying to play down. We're trying to play up and get that ring.
I love
and
it.
We're going to get up.
Elijah, you got me fired up, brother, man. I can't lie. You got me fired up, man.
Because when Jaden Daniels run, oh, my goodness, because it's a numbers game.
It is.
When them receivers get down the field and you got your back turned, now Jaden Daniels can safely move around because he's like, okay, the numbers look good because I got 4-3 speed over there. Oh, you're gonna have to take care of Terry. Oh,
that's what I get excited about, Elijah. Well, I think their quick passing game takes a massive step forward. You added Debo and Jalen Lane instead of Crowder and Olamide Zaccheaus. So I love it, Elijah. You got me fired up, man. I appreciate the call as always, man.
All right, bro.
1-800-636-1067. Hit it right on the head. I want to finish breaking down the last 2 picks that Washington had yesterday in the draft. Their linebacker that they selected really jumps off the page to me. Kane Medrano is, to me, a young man that kind of has that tweener body type, right? 6'3", 222 pounds. He's got the height of like a – he's got the build of like a strong safety almost, but he's listed as a linebacker. So I wonder, is he somebody that comes in there – it can cover your tight ends, can cover your backs. Can he be Jeremy Chinn? I don't know. Like, that's the interesting thing to me. Dane Brugler had a 4th-round grade on Kane Medrano. So I look and go, well, hey, Dane Brugler is one of the best in the business, somebody that I trust. They got him in the 6th round, and there was a 4th-round grade on this young man. So I love everything about it. The measurables are there. A guy that played wide receiver and safety in high school, so just a super athlete. I love everything about this young man. The one thing that really, really intrigues me about him is what it does for others. So I don't know exactly where they're going to play him, right? He's a guy that Ken Norton Jr., Washington's linebackers coach, coached in college at UCLA. So there's clearly familiarity there. But I wonder what the selection of Kane Medrano does to others, right? Like, if he is able to come in there and be a fast, speedy guy at linebacker that can make plays, and I want to see how he hits, obviously, and how he tackles. All that stuff's going to matter. But we know the big thing about him is speed. And that's the first strength that Dane Brugler lists on the Beast. It says play speed and timed both pop. So I love that. He also says the ability to shift gears on command, which I think is huge when you're talking about, you know, scraping left or scraping right in run support. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how Medrano ultimately ends up helping out this football team. But he's a guy that I get really excited about. He's probably, to me, of their 7 picks, in terms of intrigue, he is the one that I'm most intrigued about. Talking about Kane Medrano, the linebacker, out of UCLA. Right away he comes in and can help you on special teams. But I wonder, because of the speed that he has, right? Because of the traits that he has, can he help you on defense right away? I think he can. One thing that he did really well, if you watch the tape, man, like he can carry wide receivers up the seam. He's fast enough to guard guys underneath, talking about running backs and tight ends. I love everything about it, man. The only thing is he's kind of small, right, at 222 pounds. That's why I can't wait for rookie minicamp where we get to lay our eyes on these guys in person. That's always my favorite part of this process. I think he's the guy that probably intrigues me the most. Now, I'm not going to act as if he's a flawless prospect. You look at the weaknesses here from Dane Brugler of the Beast. He says, missed tackles greatly affected multiple games. See 2024 LSU and Oregon tapes. Well, if you're missing tackles against LSU, I can't really ding you for that. But you get what I'm saying. So the one thing that Dane also says is what I just mentioned, doesn't have top-tier size for NFL duties. I wonder how true that is. He's 6'3", 222 pounds. So I don't know how this is ultimately going to go, but I think this is a guy that has the athletic traits to where if Ken Norton can continue to coach him up, I think he's got a real opportunity to help out this defense. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We've now broken down 4 of 5 Washington draft picks here to start. Jacory Kroski-Moret is the last running back, or excuse me, the last player that Washington took. And I want to pronounce this right. It's Jacory Kroski-Moret. Jacory Kroski-Moret, the running back that Washington selected with their final pick yesterday. I think the running back position, a lot of people were clamoring for, but what have I been long saying? I wouldn't take it early. And I also think maybe, just maybe, us as fans and media members are a little bit more down on Washington's internal running back group than they are. They love Brian Robinson. They love Austin Ekeler. They love Jeremy McNichols. They love C-Rod. You add this running back out of Arizona to the mix, and he is a guy that I think when you see him in person, stacks up physically to Brian Robinson. Now, he has a little bit more pop and a little bit more juice. But here's the thing about Jacory Kroski-Moret. I'm not sure. How do I want to put this? He is a cat that I would say isn't a flawless prospect, right? There's a reason he was there where he was. Not a flawless prospect, but there are some things in his game that I wonder, can he overcome at the next level? Wasn't that great in pass pro. Didn't see him a whole lot running out of the backfield as a pass catcher. So there is some question marks that I have about him. But that's why they know more than we do. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. They trust the tape. I trust their evaluation. Getting our eyes on these dudes in person, I think, becomes that much more important. If you're on the line, stay there. 1-800-636-1067. We've officially broken down every Commander's draft pick to this point. First hour and 15, we spent breaking down all 5 draft picks. Logan Paulson going to join us at 11:30. When we come back, blow up the line. What's your favorite pick? What pick has you scratching your head? What do you think the biggest need is still? And have they closed the gap between them and the Philadelphia Eagles? That's next. Your calls here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
one 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 105 before we hand things over to our coverage of Nats baseball. They wrap up their weekend series with the New York Mets. In about 10 minutes, our pal Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, one of the best film junkies in the biz, going to join us as we get his thoughts on Washington's 5 draft selections. How much closer are they to unseating the Philadelphia Eagles atop the NFC? We'll ask Logan Paulson that. We've gone through all 5 picks. We want to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Anything you got on the 2025 NFL draft? As we move into the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get specific, looking at a couple of different position groups and how they now stand and look after the 5 picks in the NFL draft. But right now, I want your calls on your thoughts on the 5 picks that Washington brought in. Are you happy with the draft? Do you feel like they still left some meat on the bone? Do you feel like there's a major position in need still? Let me know at 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to our guy, Kevin in Arlington, wants to chime in. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, Linnell. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Just following up on the conversation with you and Denton yesterday afternoon. First of all, I think it was a fantastic draft when you consider what they got for 5 picks. I mean, they basically addressed their biggest need other than edge setter, and that is having a legit cornerback to join the room along with, you know, the free agent they got from New England. And, of course, Igbinoghene, Lattimore, and Mikey. So they have really upgraded their cornerback room, which they absolutely needed to do. And they've also really upgraded their special teams with the additions of Lane and Medrano. I mean, the speed that they added there, I think it's exceptional. But what we just mentioned briefly yesterday, and I wasn't able to hear if you were able to come back to it, was the one sort of big need on the team that is still there, in my opinion, is who is the edge center? Who is the Charles Mann on this defense? Not that we have a Hall of Famer. Well, Charles is definitely Skins Hall of Famer. But you know, who's going to do that? Is it Dietrich Wise? And I did look at the depth chart, and he does appear to be the starting defensive end opposite the opposing team's right tackle. You definitely want a good edge setter on that side. But are you comfortable? I know how you know line play. I'm just curious. What do you think about our edge setting situation? Because it was a major problem last year, exemplified by the first play in the NFC title game.
Yeah, I think it's a very valid concern if anybody has it out there, Kevin. And I want to keep you on the line as we answer to get your feedback, brother. Yeah, I've been saying it all along. I think they're a lot higher on their guys internally than we are as fans and media. And I'm glad you brought up Dietrich Wise, someone that's a different body type in that room, 6'5", 280 pounds. That screams edge setter. Now, throughout his career, throughout his career, he has not been some super stout run defender, though. But he's got the body type to be able to do it, and I think that's just as important. I also look at Javonte Jean-Baptiste as an edge setter as well. I thought that was the one thing that jumped out right away with him, is to be a rookie and not have the best play strength right now, to be able to be strong at the point of attack the way that he was, I thought was super impressive. I think they may go out and add a free agent still to this mix, but I think when you add a guy like Kane Medrano, it maybe gives you or frees up Frankie Louvu to do some other things. Now, maybe the kid Kane, the sixth-round pick, it also may be, you know, Jordan McGee that frees things up for this defense as well. Kevin, we got a bunch of people on the line before we get to Logan, so I'm gonna let you go, pal, but enjoy the weekend, and I hope I answered your question, man. 1-800-636-1067. The edge rusher spot, I know, is what people are concerned about. And I will continue to say, I think they're better than maybe we're giving them credit for, right? Dorrance Armstrong, you got to think, was one of the few multi-year deals that was given out during year one of free agency. I think Dorrance just has to be more consistent. Now, he got hurt versus Baltimore, and he missed a portion of the season. When he came back, you got to think, you got to get your feet wet a little bit. During the stretch run of the season, the final couple of regular season games and then the playoffs, I thought he was excellent. So if you can continue to build off of what he did at the end of last year, I feel a lot more confident about that. I think Javonte Jean-Baptiste coming back a year stronger, a year more advanced and matured, can take a step forward, I think, with an increase in snaps. I also look at Jalen Holmes, the young man that they signed last year, and they re-signed him during free agency. I think he's somebody that's a different body type of that defensive end spot if you're looking at that edge setter. Also, Cleveland Farrell being healthy also is something that's interesting to me as well. But if anybody out there is concerned about linebacker or feels like, hey, or excuse me, not linebacker, is concerned about defensive end and looking like, hey, like did we improve that position? I understand it. But I think you got to just wait and see when it comes to that position. 1-800-636-1067. Ron is in Chantilly. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, Linnell. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm calling for you.
Ah, I appreciate you, my man.
Yeah, I'm now a fan.
I appreciate you.
Listen. I hear everything you're saying about edge rusher, but after quarterback, that's the key to negate a great passer, and we've got a couple in our division. And so, I would love to say that we can wait on these guys to develop and everything, but what we would like to have as fans is something that's very hard to find, and that's Micah Parsons part two.
For sure.
You can move them around. If you had two guys, if you had a good pass rusher as a regular defensive end, and then you had even an outside linebacker, I don't think they want to put Louvu in a position like that because they'd be giving up a lot of inside. And given, you know, Bobby Wagner's age, God love him. I mean, he's playing at a great level for his age, but he's going to hang him up eventually, and we need to develop somebody like that without giving up that middle of the, you know, guard center run hole. So I'm still looking for that, and doesn't even have to be a full-time player. Could be a position down and distance player, but that's what you need to negate. Just get in the quarterback's face all the time when you're
for
in the
sure.
game. Doesn't matter if you even know that, hey, here he comes, you know.
Right. I got you.
Ron, well, have a great day.
For sure. I appreciate you chiming in as always, man. So I'll say this about the edge rusher spot. Last year, right, to me, they had the pass rush juice, right, as you had multiple guys with double-digit sacks or almost had multiple guys with double-digit sacks. Dante Fowler with 10.5, he couldn't stop the run. This year, my bigger concern, and concerns a strong word, this year I look at their front four and go, man, I like their ability to stop the run. I wonder if they have enough pass rush juice on the edge. My thought last year was the exact opposite. So we'll see how it ultimately plays out. I think they can go in free agency and acquire a guy as well. Steve is in Silver Spring. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Linnell, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. I didn't think we did enough to beat Philadelphia. Like, Dallas is going to be better. And, I mean, they beat us last year, but our target should be Philadelphia. And I didn't think that we did enough. We got beat up front on both sides of the ball with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a monster in the middle of their defensive end, in the middle of their defense. And I didn't think that we addressed, even during free agency, I didn't think that we addressed those two sides of the football enough to go in there and play smash-mouth Philadelphia football.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to beat them with the sexy stuff, Linnell.
For sure.
You got to go and beat them up front. And so, I mean, them guys starting at 365, 6'7" on their offensive line. I mean, them some grown-ass men. And so I just think, you know, I think we needed to address that. Forget the sexy stuff. You can get that later in the later rounds or whatever, but you know, that's just my opinion on that.
So they went
right, in. Man, I love the show,
Steve. I appreciate you, man, and I hear where you're coming from. I think they went in, and some will roll their eyes at it. Some will believe them, like I do. I just think they went in with the mentality of drafting the best player possible, despite quote unquote need. And as I kept saying as we were leading up to the draft, are y'all paying attention here? I kept saying it. I fully believe that they feel like with what they did in free agency, they didn't have to do anything in the draft. Obviously, they're going to draft players. When I say have to do anything, there was no need or necessity to reach for need in the draft based off of what they did in free agency. I keep bringing up the name Dietrich Wise. I'm putting a lot of pressure on this cat, but I think he was an impactful free agent signing. Remember last year when we signed Alamide Zaccheaus and Noah Igbinoghene and there were a couple of Nick Allegretti. There were a couple of free agent signings last year where they were on one-year deals and you wondered, who the hell is this guy? What's he going to do? Then he ends up being super impactful. Alamide Zaccheaus being the best of those examples. Dietrich Wise is my vote for that guy this year. I think he is going to really, really surpass a lot of your expectations in terms of how impactful he could be for this defense. Greg's in Upper Marlboro. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, how you doing? I think it's...
Are you not even ready, Greg? What's going on, Greg?
Yeah, I think we as fans are doing the same thing as we did last year. You can't... They improved their team against the run. They're trying to... Philly got a 3 or 4 year jump on us as far as the guys that smell like bacon on the front line. They're loaded up front.
Yes.
And you're not going to be able to load your team up like Philly has. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to get better. They beat us when it came time to just say, you know what, let's get rid of the Commanders. They put the ball in 26 hands and ran it down our throat. And we couldn't do nothing about it. So now you went out, you got some bigger players, you got some guys that play more with leverage. You let the scheme get your sacks. Fowler never had 10 sacks.
I'm about to say, Greg, you talking my language, Greg. I definitely agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. Never had 10 sacks.
And Greg, real quick, Greg, it was the quietest 10.5 sacks you'll ever see.
Right. But you pull up the tape and watch how many times they ran at him, 26 went around his side.
Right. Exactly.
So what I'm saying is they got the guys up front. They done basically rebuilt their whole offensive line where the people that were starters are probably now going to be backups.
Right, and that's a good thing.
And, yes, And you got, you basically flipped your whole receiving core. And with better line play, you should get better results in your running game.
For sure.
So now the key group is a bunch of guys that didn't play last year. Your drafted linebackers, Hampton, the new guy from UCLA. Those guys are going to be the key to the team. That middle group, those nickel linebackers.
Yep.
Those are going to be the guys.
Because look, Greg, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go. I wonder if Dom Hampton or the kid from UCLA, is that the Jeremy Chinn replacement? Because Will Harris, I'm not 100% sold on, if I'm being objective about it. I appreciate the call as always, Greg. 1-800-636-1067. If you're on the line, stay there. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to get a whole lot smarter coming up on the other side of the break. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, joins us next to break down the NFL draft.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's 11:30 in the club. It's Yogurt's and Charles and L. Willingham here with you on The Fan. We'll take you up to 105. Nats baseball coming up following me. They'll finish up a weekend series against the New York Mets. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on deck starting at 105. Right now, we continue to recap the 2025 draft for the Washington Commanders. Five players added to this football team in a slew of undrafted free agents. To recap all of that, we go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show, where we find a guy who probably is taking a deep breath right now, I hope, and sighing and letting it all out. Logan, the work finally done, big fella. We can now, you know, go back and see how this thing's going to play out for everybody.
Yeah, man, it is nice to be done, but I kind of feel like I woke up yesterday and I was like, what am I going to do with my days now?
I'm not
going to be watching prospects film anymore.
I feel you on that for sure. Appreciate your work throughout the process. Appreciate you taking time to respond to my pesky text messages at times. You always give me reassurance on some things that I'm thinking, so I appreciate you for that for sure. Let's get into it, though, man. Five new Washington Commanders. Let's start with Josh Connerly, Logan, because I think that was the pick that, I'll be honest with you, me and Toby Altizer were on doing our draft coverage, and 2 minutes before Washington was on the board, when I saw that Josh Simmons out of Ohio State was still there, I thought tackle could potentially be in play. Ironically enough, big fella, him and Josh Connerly, both named Josh. So when I heard Josh, I went, oh. Then he goes, Connerly Jr., and I immediately got confused for a second. What was the difference to you between Josh Connerly and Josh Simmons there, and do you like the pick?
Yeah, so I think, you know, obviously this is one of the tough things about just doing talent evaluation, which is in large part what you and I are doing, just watching film. Because I think, you know, a lot of fans, when they see, you know, Josh Simmons, they say, oh, he's more athletically gifted, blah, 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 blah. But also, like, Josh Simmons is coming off of a patella injury, which, you know, can be really sticky and kind of difficult to deal with. Kind of hear throughout the process that there were some, I don't know, like maturity concerns. And I'm always a little bit tongue-in-cheek with that because, you know, the guy's 22 years old, like everyone's got some maturity issues. But I think when you juxtapose that, or when you compare that to Josh Connerly, the guy that ultimately the Commanders end up drafting, Connerly's evaluation throughout the process was just so much more clean. Like, he's a tremendous athlete. He's a technician. He, when you watch him, man, it feels like an NFL player. Like, the position, his relationship to the rusher, his ability to adjust to inside moves, his ability to adjust to twists and stunts, really high level. And I think the other element there is the athleticism, right? And a 171 10-yard split had like right around a 5-second 40-yard dash. You know, depending on the stopwatch, it's, you know, 4.95 or it's 5.01, whatever it looks like, but very, very fast. Had the third best vertical jump at the combine. And all of those metrics, quite frankly, show up on the field. Then you compare that with his 34.5-inch arms. He's got the requisite length. And you say, man, this guy is just a kind of a prototype for the position. And I love the athletic floor because it allows you to infer a projection like to a higher ceiling, like to a high caliber starting player. So I think there's a lot of really good stuff to like about Josh Connerly. I think all of the stuff that you do to kind of get to know the player, the Commanders did. They talked to him at the Senior Bowl. They talked to him at the combine. They brought him in for a 30 visit. So they really knew the player at a super high level. They felt very comfortable with him, obviously. And it just feels like such a good, safe pick with a high upside. I think that's the thing about all their picks we're going to talk about. Safe pick, high upside, and really fits kind of, at least the way I understand it so far, what it means to be a Commander.
Yeah, I ultimately ended up liking the pick as well. I think, like you said, he's a super athlete, and I think the opportunity for him and Tunsil to be your tackle tandem the next couple of seasons is really intriguing. And then if you choose not to move forward with Tunsil, we know he's got plenty of work on the left side of the offensive line as well. So I think it's a good pick as well. Their second pick, Logan, Trey Amos, I know a lot of folks thought that he could potentially be in play at pick number 29. So obviously to get him at 61 is just supreme value. How do you see him slotting into this lineup here early on, Logan? Because that's the first thing that I thought is, man, I love the pick, but Washington has really raised the floor at their cornerback spot, man. You're really 5-6 dudes deep that I'm comfortable with, right? Considering who started and who played a lot last year, what is it going to take for Amos to be that starting outside corner opposite of Marshawn Lattimore, and how quickly do you think that could happen?
Well, he's going to have to compete, and I think that's what you want. It's a guy that I think his career shows that he is a competitive dude. You know, he started as a raging Cajun in Louisiana, goes to Alabama. It's not quite working out. He transfers to Ole Miss, wins the starting job there. So I do think you see a guy who's experienced some adversity in his career, understand what it takes. He's played in multiple systems. He's got the physical measurements. He tested better than people thought. So, you know, I expect him to come in, and he kind of is what, you know, I think what this staff, what Dan Quinn Jr., what Joe Wood Jr., what Dan Quinn and Joe Wood Jr., covet at the position, right? He's a bigger guy, got really supreme ball skills and instincts for the position. And when you look at guys that they've coached that have had that, they're able to mold them into pretty dynamic football players. So obviously when cleats get on the grass, you've got to kind of earn that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I do think the pedigree, the background, the history shows he's going to figure it out. And then ultimately, if he does figure it out, which we're all hoping, I think he probably plays that outside spot opposite Lattimore. And then Mike Sandersteel is kind of your nickel player. And, you know, maybe there's packages where Mike Sandersteel is also playing outside and like true base. Like, we'll see how that goes. But I would say he projects to an outside player. And I think there's a, you know, probably pretty high likelihood that he's starting week one, but we'll see how that all shakes out over the course of the offseason and through training camp.
Yeah, obviously that's the big thing that, you know, is the question mark here. And, you know, as radio people, this is what we want to get into. I think it's an interesting road to him getting on the field, because I think he's got to beat two guys out at outside corner. He's got to be a better outside corner than Jonathan Jones and Mikey Saberstill, in my opinion, to earn that job. I think people forget about Jonathan Jones being brought in. I say all of that to say this, Logan. Like I said to start, they've improved the floor of that position. It's going to be super competitive, and I think this football team this year, with all five of their draft picks and the free agent signing, is going to be a hell of a lot harder to make.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately what you want. Right. You know, like I've had GMs and coaches in the past tell me, like, ultimately you want to cut good football players, which sounds, again, counterintuitive, but it should speak to the fact that the rest of your roster is just that good that you can't sustain these football players that you want to sustain. So, yeah, I think you bring up a great point. Jonathan Jones has played inside. He has played outside. Mike Sanders still did a great job playing outside last year. And, like, that's ultimately what you want. You want those three guys to be the best versions of themselves. And I feel like the only way to get that done is creating a competitive environment. It's the same thing with the offensive line. I think we all kind of assume Connelly's going to kind of fit right in a right tackle. But If I'm, Brandon Coleman, if I'm Andrew Wiley, like, I'm going to make it hard for him. I want to show, put the best version of myself out there saying, hey, I deserve this opportunity. So I think ultimately, like, this is what good football teams do. And for a team that's picking so late with so few draft capital to make these kind of big, impactful swings at 29, at the pick 29, at pick 61, change the dynamic of both rooms, like the complexions of both sides of the ball overnight with the pick, I think is exactly what you want to be doing. And again, good kids, competitive kids, and really I think are going to be indoctrinated into this culture very quickly. And again, like you hope, again, Amos is starting outside corner week one, and Mikey Sanders still's in the slot. So really can't wait to see what that all looks like in a couple of months.
Logan, their next two picks at 128 and 205, to me, were the most intriguing of the picks in this draft. Jalen Lane is, to me, one of the best home run threats in this draft. I think if he would have had better quarterback play at Virginia Tech, he would have been a more highly touted prospect. What did you see when you cut the film on with him, and how quickly do you think he makes an impact in D.C.?
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that about the quarterback play. Like, there were times watching that film where it's really frustrating to watch. They're kind of in this weird kind of amalgamation of, like, we're a run first team, we've got a running quarterback, but we do some RPO stuff and we do take shots, but the receivers on run plays, it's obvious we kind of tell them to chill out on certain looks. And I don't know, man, Jalen Lane, to me, I was watching other players on the offense. I was just kind of going through a list of guys. It was the other receiver there. I forget his name, but basically I came out of it saying, like, who's number 83? Like, this guy is a stud, right? He's competitive. He runs good routes. He's a good blocker. He's just, you can tell he's like a football player's football player. And he's got this explosive ability to his game. So he was a guy that, for whatever reason, because I hadn't revisited him prior to the draft, was a little bit out of sight, out of mind for me. But a guy that I think is an excellent football player, home run threat, adds value as a kick returner right away, probably more punt returner. But I think that's what's exciting about the pick is that, you know, at 128 to get a player who is going to contribute to your team or who can contribute to your team, I think is very, very significant. And again, blocks well, competitive, great contact balance, has the ability to kind of turn, a 5 yard out into a 60 yard touchdown, has a little bit more route running nuance than I think he was allowed to show, quite frankly, at Virginia Tech, which gets me excited. So I think, again, just an extremely high football character. He's the son of a coach that shows up when you're watching the film, and a guy that I think his best football is ahead of him, which is very exciting.
I mentioned that the 128 and then I think it was 206 or 205 rather were the most intriguing of the picks to me. Kane Medrano, the linebacker out of UCLA, probably the most athletic linebacker I think in this class. When I look at the body type, Logan, 6'3", around 225 pounds, kind of like in that tweener linebacker nickel, big nickel role. What do you think he brings to this football team? And do you think he's got the versatility to play at multiple different spots?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I fell in love with this guy when I watched him. You know, obviously I think he struggled a little bit earlier in the year last year, but as the season went on, I think you just see a guy who's the athleticism just oozes from him. You know what I mean? Like there's times where he's playing this like box safety kind of star role and he can turn and open up and run with wide receivers. Like he can sit and kind of handle double moves. Like his coverage skills are tremendous, right? His feel in space is tremendous. Like I was talking to Craig about it and he had a really good analogy. You know, most linebackers in high school are kind of like linebacker running back and they want to run downhill, fit blocks, forward. Kane is a converted wide receiver, right? So you see his comfort, how comfortable he is in space. And then the other thing that's crazy is, like, there's games, I think it was the USC game where he's playing Mike linebacker, and he's, like, taking on blocks and using his 32.5-inch arms, and you're like, that's such a weird transition to go from the space player to in the box. And then there's a game, I think it's against Nebraska, where he's playing, like, stand-up edge, or it's against Utah, where he's, like, rushing the quarterback, and, like, you see his ability to bend and kind of snake around stuff. So I'm really curious to see. Obviously, I think initially he's a special teams player through and through.
But there's intrigue.
I think the athletic,
man.
The athleticism is really like unique. I think he ran a 4.47 40, had a 1.52 10-yard split. He jumped extremely well. He had one of the fastest three cones for a linebacker. I think he it was like a let me see, it was a six 6'9", 6", so sub 7. So again, that sub 7 is like what you're looking for elite pass rushers. So he's just a really interesting eval. I think the one thing that sticks out to me is he moves well in space. He's tremendously athletic. He takes good angles. I think he needs to improve as a tackle and a tackler and with his physicality, you know, tackling running backs, tackling receivers. But the movement, the spatial awareness is really top shelf. So I can't wait to see what they do with him. Maybe they kind of work him out a little bit as an edge rusher too. Like, I think that's the thing about him. Like, the decision about where to put him is going to be really, really significant in terms of him finding a home and in terms of him getting comfortable. Because I think because he's so athletic, because he's so versatile, he can do a lot of stuff. And I think about, like, long-term and body type comparison. Like,
he's Jeremy Chinn.
Quite frankly, I think he could be the replacement for Jeremy Chinn. Like, yeah. So, again, like, he's a sixth-round pick, so I'm going to kind of pump my brakes. But
the tackling is what worries me with that. It's the only thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But the athlete is the athlete's top shelf, and like, you know, drafting a guy in the sixth round with that kind of athletic upside, I think is exactly what you want to do. I don't want to be taking swings on guys that don't have the ceiling, and he's got a very high floor, and that he's going to be a great special teams player and be a great role player situationally on defense probably right away. But I think the ceiling for what he can be if he figures out the tackling, if he figures out some of the more nuanced defensive stuff, because again, he made the conversion in college from receiver to linebacker. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
And I love the fact that he kind of overlaps and get to re-link up with Ken Norton Jr., who probably knows who he is as a studier or a worker. And when you're asking a guy to wear multiple hats, which is what I think they will do early on, I think that's important as well. Their final pick, the running back, Ja'Cory Kroskey-Morett, a guy that, you know, has some juice, has nice size as well. What did you think about him, and do you think he can challenge for some first and second down snaps?
Dude, I actually think he was one of the better. Like, obviously, you've got, you know, Amari Hampton, Ashton Gentry, some, you know, Dylan Sampson. You've got some really explosive, kind of dynamic playmakers. But in terms of just running back film, I think you're going to be hard pressed to find a guy who's just a more natural, instinctive runner than Merritt. Like, he ran a 1.50 10-yard split, and that shows up on film. Like, his ability to burst and attack the line of scrimmage is extremely high level. He's got this kind of great contact balance. Like, he's just like what you want a running back to be. Now everyone's like, well, why is a seventh round pick? Like, he only played one game last year because of an eligibility kind of miscue by the NCAA. And then he played in the Shrine Bowl. So obviously had over 100-yard rushing in the one game he played at Arizona, and then was the Shrine Bowl offensive MVP. So the skill set's there. When you watch his No Mescu stuff, again, level of competition is a little bit different. But he is a running back's runner. Like, and I think that's something that gets me really excited, because it's very hard to coach a running back to kind of develop that natural feel and those natural instincts. And he just has them at a high level. And again, with that coupled with that elite acceleration, I do think obviously he's a seventh round pick, so he's just, you know, a notch above an undrafted free agent. But again, I like taking a shot on a guy who has such a unique feel for the position.
We got to let you go, Logan, because we're up against the clock. Real quickly, if you can, briefly on your way out, they did not go with an edge rusher. It's one thing that didn't totally surprise me, because I think they like the guys they have internally. What did you make of them not going with an edge?
Yeah, I mean, I just think real quick, obviously, that the board just didn't fall right. Yeah. You know, I just think it didn't fall the way they were hoping. Obviously, if Josh Connerly is your number one guy on your board, you take him at 29. And then I think, you know, thinking back to prior to 61, there was a run on edge rushers. Mm-hmm. And right before 128, there was a run on edge rushers again. So it just kind of fell that way where, you know, maybe you were interested, but there's not a lot of guys there. Quite frankly, there was no edge rusher I would take at 61, and no edge rusher I would take at 129, other than the guys that they selected, because of how the board had fallen to that point. So they did a great job with their draft philosophy, best player available, and they got some really, really good, interesting, explosive football players. And I think that ultimately that's what you want. And I think the really quick last point, you got five guys who could make the squad, which is exactly what you want to be thinking about coming out of the draft.
For sure. Logan, we appreciate you as always. Of course, we'll probably catch up again at some point during the week so I can continue to pepper you with questions, my friend.
Sounds good, brother.
I appreciate you making some time for us. That is Logan Paulson. Make sure you check out the Take Command podcast. Him and Craig Hoffman, one of the absolute best, talking all things Washington Commanders. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, More draft talk here on The Fan. Always good catching up with Logan Paulson. Always get a lot smarter whenever we get to hang out with him. If you missed any of that conversation, you are in luck. Download the Always Free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature. Go back to about 11:30, 11:35 to hear my conversation with Logan Paulson, breaking down every angle of Washington's 2025 NFL draft. Five draft picks to the Washington Commanders. Five guys that I think we'll end up making this football team. Three on offense, two on defense. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to look at the 2025 NFL draft next here on The Fan.